Welcome to Inside Voices, a well-read magazine, Between the Pages podcast. I'm Robert Gwaltney here with my dear and talented friend, Jeffrey Del Lofton. And we're both excited to have the opportunity to enter into conversation with Miss Karen Schwettman, independent bookstore owner. Welcome, Karen.
Hi, Robert. I'm super excited to be here with you and Jeffrey. Thank you for asking me.
Thank you for joining us. And so before we begin, Karen, I want to share a little bit about you with our listeners. Karen Schwettman is the owner of Foxtail Bookshop in Woodstock, Georgia. She began her career as an interior designer and has worked with Sherwin-Williams, Houseparts, and her own design firm, Karen Schwettman Interiors. A series of fortunate events presented her with an opportunity to follow her true passion, books. As a lifelong reader, the prospect of owning a bookshop was exciting and remains exciting today. Foxtail Bookshop has been in operation for 16 years. When she isn't reading, she enjoys making art, traveling, spending time with her family, including her seven granddaughters. She lives locally with her husband of 43 years, Gene, and their two calicos, Flannery and Bronte. Jeffrey, I'm going to toss it over to you.
Thank you, Robert. And Karen, it's so good to see you. It's been, I think, about a year since we first met in person. And so I had such a great visit at Foxtail Bookshop. And, it made me start thinking that, Foxtail is, it's without a question, it's more than a bookstore. It's a destination. It's a community gathering place. Why do independent bookstores so often serve as I guess, for lack of a better term, community centers?
I think it's because readers in general are passionate. They're passionate people. And when they come into a bookshop where we actually read the books that we're selling and we are excited about a book and a new author, and it's contagious. And it's a place for us to put readers with authors. They can have conversations. It's a place where people feel safe, where diverse people can gather, and there's no issue with anything. It's a welcoming place, regardless of your political, sexual stance, whatever it is. We respect individuals and independent booksellers. When I first began bookselling, a very wise, seasoned bookseller told me, if you want to succeed, you have to do two things. One, love books. Two, love people. And it's true. So the community creates itself around literature.
I love that. It's a beautiful gathering space as well. The bookstore's lovely.
Thank you.
I'm assuming based on your bio that you actually had a strong hand, if not the full hand, in decorating Foxtail Bookshop.
Yes, I did. It was a fun venture. It still is. I look back now on the things I was able to decorate with 16 years ago are unaffordable now. So they're all the more precious to me, all the little pieces that I found along the path to create the atmosphere that I did in the bookstore. It was, of course, one of my favorite things to do.
Well, one of the things that I want to comment on is, oftentimes, so I would say there are many wonderful things that I would vote about Foxtail Bookshop being the best of. But one of the things that I love most is the lighting in the conversation corner. This sounds so superficial, but the photographs of Foxtail Bookshop are always the best because if you're an author like Jeffrey and I, and you're just talking, your mouth's open, and people are just taking random photos, and you're under fluorescent lighting, that can be very
Oh,
frightening. But we so
yes.
appreciate the beautiful lighting that you have there, this lovely fire, this very inviting fireplace where you have these two lovely fireside chairs So it's cozy, and it's intimate, and it's just a lovely place. It is a beautiful community gathering place.
Like a living room. It feels like you're sitting in someone's
It
living room.
is.
Oh,
Thank you.
thank you. That's exactly the kind of feeling I want to evoke in the store. So thank you for that. And fluorescent lighting. No, never. They should ban fluorescent lighting.
I agree. I'll vote for that. Jeffrey, what about you?
I vote with you. You have my proxy.
Okay. Well, so we talked a little bit about the aesthetic of Foxtel Bookshop, this wonderful community gathering place. But talk a little bit about the genesis of Foxtel Bookshop. I know that you've been in business for over 16 years. Is owning a bookstore something that you had always wanted? Was it always a goal?
I think that any reader dreams of owning their own bookshop. So, as an avid reader, yes, it was in the back of my mind, sort of whimsy type of dream, but not that it would ever actually happen. The idea began as kind of a way to pass the time, a lark. I went on a trip to visit friends with other friends, and we went to the bookstore of all bookstores, which was Tattered Cover. It was the original store with the two floors, the creaky wooden floors. It was spectacular. And so, on a napkin in a restaurant, we said, "What if we had a bookstore? What would it look like?" And we drew out a little plan and we had ideas. And after that, we decided to drive up to Red Rocks Amphitheater. It was about dusk and the parking lot was deserted. And we pulled into a parking space and looked up, and there was a very large red fox. Absolutely gorgeous. And we sat in the car and looked at her for a while. She looked at us and we cautiously got out of the car. And she did nothing but look at us. And after a while, she turned and walked away. And we were like, "Oh, wow, how could, this means something." What this means, we don't know, but it's got to mean something. What it meant was when we got back and discovered a book of Native American totems, the fox is usually referred to the females, of course, as a vixen, and this fox tail is the symbol of feminine creative energy. And so thus how Foxtel came to be and how we got our name.
Oh, I
I
love
love
that.
that. That's
Yes.
beautiful.
That's fascinating. I often wondered why the name, and now, I'm happy to know that. And that's the dreaming part of it, coming up with the idea with friends, having a sign that this is the right thing to do. But then there's the business part of it. There's, obtaining business licenses and acquiring a space and what does it take to put an indie bookstore on its feet?
Hard work and determination, a love for the idea of owning your own bookshop that look like designing a space, which we've already talked about. As well as, meeting with business people from the publishing houses themselves and finding out how to set up a core inventory. What does that look like? Which kind of bookstore software will you use? Learning about all the resources available through American Booksellers Association. Through small business associations. When we went for a loan to begin the business, our agent from the SBA, Small Business, knew a guy that had written a book who was also the president of a local bank. And so we went to him and told our story and secured a loan. And all these things come with finally ordering the books, opening the doors, praying that you'll get customers, figuring out what to do as it presented itself. I had, of course, owned a business and had retail experience. I never sold books. So there's been a lot to learn over the years, but I've loved every minute of it.
Yeah, so many people have dreams. They come up with, oh, what if I could do that? What if I did that? And they may even have a sign or two pointing them in that direction. But so many don't follow their dreams. They don't trust that that could happen for them. What made you know that this was something you had to do?
I think it was because I had just turned 50. It's a turning point, whether you want it to be or not. You start thinking about what you've been doing and what you want to do. And if somebody, put an idea as crazy as it is, in your head, and you just thought, what if? And you just followed every path to see if it would doors would open or not. And it was every door opened. This started in October of 2006, late October. The idea was born. And by February the 5th or 6th, we had secured a loan and we opened our store on May the 4th. So
Wow.
in 6 months, this came together just with ideas and determination and love of books.
One of the things that I think also makes an independent bookstore successful, not only, of course, it's the space and in the sense of passion for books of the people who own it, but it's also the team, the family that you assemble to work there. And one of the things that I've noticed, well, first of all, is that you've had continuity of staff. So you always see consistent faces, and they're always so wonderful. They're passionate about books. They're kind. They if you frequent regularly, they know you and they call you by their name. Talk a little bit about your approach to assembling a team and your philosophy on working together within the bookstore.
Oh, thank you for those words, Robert. And that's is the way it is. It is a bookstore family. It sounds grandiose, I suppose, to say this, but truly, every person that has been on my team that has come, they came to me. It fulfilled a need that I had in the store in certain areas at the right time. And some of them were customers long before it ever went into an employee situation. And we know these people. We know their families. I think it's the core, our relationship, because our relationship and the energy reflects inside the store. It is welcoming and loving and a safe place. So I'm very, very grateful for the team I have. And that's not to say we're perfect. We all work in different ways. We all read in different genres. And I wouldn't have it any other way, but at our core, we're all about books and love and foxtail.
One of the things you actually have a couple of team members who are also authors, and I'm going to hold this up. And it is the 2023 anthology "Tales from the Fox's Den," and it's edited by Beth Hermes. And th I think this is such a lovely project because what it allows is for individuals who are aspiring authors or authors who need an opportunity to have a platform to have their voices heard. This provides that. Why don't you talk a little bit about the inception of this anthology?
I will say that Beth Hermes has been our author in residence for long before she became a member of the staff in the store. We've always had an excellent working relationship, and Beth's enthusiasm for writing and energizing writers has been contagious from the very first time that she held a class in our store. Now we also have her on our everyday team, and that enthusiasm exudes over into the store and to writers. She always has a writing class going on at Foxtail. We have one coming up soon. And so she came up with this idea of taking people who had been in her classes over the year to submit two stories, and that she would compile them, edit them, and have them bound and published, and then we would have a book signing. It has been a fabulous end of the year celebration for the writers who have now in their hands their own work and their peers' work, and the pleasure of, everyone goes around and signs everyone else's stories in the book. It's just a wonderful thing that Beth created along with Foxtail.
Well, it certainly is a beautiful opportunity to provide aspiring authors and established authors a platform in the community. Another element of Foxtail is having these beautiful events and having the opportunity to bring in some really big names in the publishing world. Talk a little bit about what have been some of the highlights, in your 16 years? Who are some of those individuals that you were excited to meet and were a little perhaps intimidated to meet?
My number one author I wanted to meet was Rick Bragg. There was no question about it. I loved all the authors we were able to bring in, and it's a slow thing being able to secure wonderful authors when you start out in the bookstore business and nobody knows who you are. But that was my one, the holy grail for me. And I think in the second year, he came out with pr The Prince of Frogtown. We bid on, put in a request and sent in a proposal. And when we got Rick Bragg, it was the biggest celebration in Woodstock. We had people just like jammed inside the store and outside in the windows looking in. I was delighted. And he's become a great friend of the store ever since. Let's see who else has been my favorite. So it would be hard to choose. I was thrilled when Amy, not Amy Tan, Lisa C was able to join us last fall. And then David Sedaris came in the summer, and that was really exciting. Every event is exciting in its own way. And it's hard to pick out my favorites. One quite some time ago was my absolute favorite event was when we performed a skit. It was based on the book Earl's All You Can Eat, and we made the store a diner, and the Supreme sang, and we really, really put on a show for this author, and it was fantastic. So There are so many, and I don't want to leave anybody out. I could just keep going. Chris Bohjalian is a favorite of mine. Allison Pataki is coming in April, and she's been one of my most revered authors as well. So we have authors that maybe they sell 15 books and some that sell 300. But the fact is the matter is they're all important, and we're glad to be able to host these authors.
Well, you certainly gave many writers an opportunity to, promote their work, and including Robert and me. How do you decide which authors to invite to Foxtail?
It's not a 1, 2, 3 process. There's a couple of different ways. One, publishers put out event grids. Those come out once, twice a year, I think. And you're looking at 6 months in advance. You're told what authors are coming to your area. And if you are in the right zone, then you can put in a proposal to have that author come to you. A lot of criteria involve different criteria for each publisher. We also have authors that other authors recommend to us. Maybe we have read a book that hadn't crossed our path, and such as Robert's book, and falling in love with the work itself. And wanting to bring that into our community. And the same with you, Jeffrey, because we want to embrace all of our humanity and have everyone feel welcome. So we were honored that you would choose us. We do live in a very conservative area of Georgia, but that does not mean that we are closed-minded. So how else we could get one? We can have people come in off the street. That's not often how we find them, or we get requests from customers. And if we follow that trail, then that can also bring us an event. So a lot of different ways. It's very personalized, really, and very cut and dried at the same time.
You mentioned that you live in a conservative area, but and given the attack on books, the freedom to read whatever one wants, I mean, have you had, how has it been like for you being, opening a woman-owned independent bookstore? Have there been moments of regret, bursts of pride about opening a space that allows that freedom? How has it been for you?
I am very proud of that. And the banning books only makes me more determined to have an open and welcoming place where anybody is welcome. One of the other pieces to that is knowing what people want. And it's hard to know if those people don't come in. We have such a diverse group of people now that we are seeing come into the shop that we never have before. And I'm so excited about that. Just to know that what started as a ridiculous joke, this got created. And it wasn't my hard work. I've always said it was God's store. God has always provided. Yes, she has.
Yes, she has. So Karen, I would be interested. Over the span of 16 years, how has the business of bookselling changed in your eyes?
It has changed drastically. When I first got into the business and we had a few years under our belt, we were able to order directly from publishers. At that time, they would send out publisher reps. They brought catalogs. We sat together for an entire afternoon and went through all of the titles that they thought would work for our store. It was both a social meeting because your reps knew you intimately. That's how they know what books to recommend with you. They were very in tune with you in the store. After there was, the drop in the economy shortly after we opened, and then at that point, reps quit coming out. And we began to see digital. We had to use digital catalogs, and I thought I'd never be able to do that. But that's all I do now, so it can be done. But we do not see the reps like we have in the past. We've seen since the pandemic a lot of the senior reps retiring, going away, and being replaced with younger reps. And I think they are so spread thin right now that it's hard to get the personalized service that we had in the earlier years of book selling. So, yes, that it has changed drastically. It's hard to see what the future of publishing and book selling will look like right now, but I don't think about it. It will be, and books have always survived, and as long as there's readers, we're going to have books. So.
So we come to the conclusion of our time together, Karen. I know that you, it's hard to speculate, but while I want to go back to what you said earlier about writing on that napkin all those years ago. What if we had a bookstore? What would it look like? If you had an opportunity to write on the napkin what you hope the future of Foxtail and the publishing and reading world would be, what hope would you have for that?
I would have the hope that Foxtail would survive and continue to be a place that we have talked about during this meeting, and that we've all been a part of. And as I said, it's something that the universe, God, or whatever you want to call it, brought together. And I believe that the people are that's going to keep Foxtail alive. That's my hope, that it will continue on and be successful in meeting the needs of the community.
And that's what I hope
That's
for you as well. I want to thank you, Karen, for coming on. And I want to thank you for the work that you do in the community, for supporting debut authors like myself and Jeffrey, and for supporting the community and for and just for supporting ideas. Thank you for that.
Thank you. I absolutely love being with you gentlemen tonight, and I'm so grateful that you asked me.
We're grateful for you as well. Gentle listeners, until next time, I'm Robert Gwaltney.
And I'm Jeffrey Dale Lofton, and remember, to be creative is to be courageous.